Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, Christ's true versus false servants. After critiquing the Pharisees' false righteousness, Christ addressed those who desired to enter his kingdom in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 29. Matthew 7, 15 to 23, part of that address, contrasts Christ's true versus false servants. We view this passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out demons, and in your name done many miraculous works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or ye that work lawlessness. It's interesting that false prophets and false teachers in general are part of the cause for the way of truth being narrow and hard to find that Jesus mentioned back in verses 13 and 14. For these evil men are like ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, deceiving many immature, unsuspecting people, including many believers, only to harm their victims and leave a bad testimony for God's truth by their actions. So Jesus told his disciples to be on one's guard. Proseko means to pay attention to, but in this context it's pay attention to with your guard up, essentially. Pay attention to or be on your guard against false prophets, and thus also against false teachers by application. The reason for being on guard is that false prophets and teachers present themselves in sheep's clothing so as to leave their victims unguarded, so that the false prophets and the teachers can take harmful advantage of their victims, while inwardly these prophets and teachers are self-serving, destructive wolves. Reminds me of a cult leader back in, might have been the 70s or 80s, Jim Jones. In San Francisco, and he led a bunch of people, followers of his, down to Guyana. And eventually he led them to drink the Kool-Aid that was spiked and commit suicide. It's just unbelievable what this man would do. At one point he actually took the Bible, threw it down on the stage that he was on, and he stamped on the Bible and he said, you need to pay attention to me, not to that book. And there were Christians that followed this guy. And there were Christians that took of the Kool-Aid, and so you got to watch it. There are destructive wolves out there. Jesus then taught his disciples how to discern such wolves, revealing that false prophets and teachers are known by their fruits. Now, farmers do not gather grapes from thorns nor figs from thistles, for every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear the bad, nor can the bad tree bear the good. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is known to be bad, and thus is cut down and burned up. So by their fruits, we will know them. There's been a big discussion. What is he talking about when he says fruits? False teachers are not literally fruits, trees, so they don't literally produce actual fruits. Is it their works? Is it their actions? Well, Jesus clarifies what he means by that. What Jesus meant by bad fruit had to be illustrated, for false prophets and teachers try to deceive by appearing to be godly. So Christ illustrated this in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. This is where we get into the people who will stand before Christ someday, and these will be people who have been involved in ministry, but they're going to be unbelievers. And it's interesting what Jesus says about them. False prophets and false teachers will say, Lord, Lord, while not being able to enter heaven for failing to do the will of God the Father, which will involves trusting Christ for salvation of the soul of God's grace. Years ago, I actually heard of an evangelist who, after having been involved in evangelism for a number of years, he realized he wasn't saved, so he accepted Christ as a Savior. Can you imagine? A guy was an evangelist, and he came to the realization he didn't know the Lord. I don't know how that can happen, but that's exactly what they told us. Well, anyway, in other words, fine-sounding words are used by false prophets and false teachers to give the appearance that they are true sheep of God, but they do not believe in Christ. There's a seminary, a liberal seminary in the United States, that was one. I was going to seminary. It was actually teaching the students in its seminary, whatever you do, use the lingo that is used by evangelicals, because if you don't use the lingo, they're going to get on to you that you're liberal. So make sure you use the lingo. Talk about being born again. Mention a lot of the grace of God and everything, because that way you'll be able to keep your job a long time, but you don't have to believe it. And they're actually teaching them in the seminary to do that. Now that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing. So you got to be very, very careful. Fine-sounding words, watch out. Make sure that you... This is why I always tell people, do the incarnation test. See if they confess as their belief that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. That'll nail them to the wall, because if they don't believe that, they're not going to come around and confess that as their belief. You may get them to say the words, but they will not say, that's my belief. What you want is a certain messenger or a pastor to say, I believe, is my belief, that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. And incidentally, if you don't know about me, that's exactly what my belief is, all right? Just in case you wanted to know. But you got to watch out for fine-sounding words. Then false prophets and false teachers will even have performed impressive works like prophesying in Christ's name, casting out demons, and performing many miracles in Christ's name without having trusted in Christ for salvation. Guess whose power they're doing it by? Satan's power. It's not God's power. They will have performed ministries by Satan's power in deceiving many people, including many weak and immature Christians, without having trusted in Christ as their Savior. This is something that is going on a regular basis. Many years ago, there was a famous faith healer who came to Portland, Oregon, and he was ministering and allegedly healing people. And so one of the professors at Multnomah School of the Bible that I went to decided to do some follow-up with these people who had come forward allegedly having been healed. Maybe they had a handicap of some sort or an illness. And he said in every single case, they were worse off than they were before they ever went to the meeting. So a lot of this is just psychosomatic stuff. But there weren't people who they were not really being healed. In fact, at the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, regardless of these false prophets and teachers having called him Lord, Lord, or they're having prophesied in his name or in his name cast demons out and perform many miracles, Jesus will tell them that he never knew them, that they were to depart from him into the lake of fire because they were workers of literally lawlessness. I know the King James interprets workers of iniquity, but the word is anomia. Nomos is the word for law, and you put an alpha privet in front of it and negates it, which means lawlessness. Lawlessness is actually what sin is. John defines sin as lawlessness. All sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness means it violates the word of God. So that's how you can tell. The false teacher, when it comes down to it, he's not going to obey the word of God consistently. There's going to be a glaring area where he definitely violates it, and he does it willfully. So you can pick that up. Just use your Bible and watch out. So by application, since carnal believers can act like unsaved people, according to 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, carnal believers can also deceive immature and weak believers in being godly when they're actually disobeying Scripture and they're ungodly. Now, this happens a lot in churches. You'll have people involved in ministry who will present themselves as godly. They're not godly at all. They're carnal. But they're trying to persuade other people and make other people follow them. In fact, Paul warned about this when he was speaking to the elders in Acts chapter 20, or 21, I forget, where he's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He said, "There shall rise up men amongst you who will be ravenous wolves." And he says, "I've warned you about this day and night with tears. Watch out." So be careful and watch out for these. And that's going to come even from within the church itself. There will be leaders like that. So the lesson is false prophets and false teachers parade themselves with fine-sounding words and even many miraculous works, though not having believed in Christ for salvation themselves. And presenting themselves this way, they deceive others to their own harm, to the harm of their people. For such prophets and teachers are inwardly ravenous wolves who will eventually be condemned to the lake of fire. Believers are to be on their guard against these false prophets and teachers by looking beyond their nice words and even their miraculous works to discern if they have truly believed in Christ for salvation. Carnal believing teachers must also be discerned by their failure to obey God's word. Now, a carnal teacher may confess that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, but he's operating by means of the sin nature. And you can figure this out because you have the fruit of the Spirit and you have the fruit or sin nature in Galatians chapter 5, beginning about verse 16 and going all the way to verse 23. You have a comparison and a contrast between the product of the sin nature and the product of the Holy Spirit. And generally, you can find your way through that. You can see if an individual is carnal or not. So an application may be beware of false prophets and false teachers by viewing their fruit. Namely, though a teacher may be saved, he may be carnal and function as an unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3. So we must examine the fruit of all teachers to see if they function biblically by the Holy Spirit or if they disobey Scripture by the sin nature. It's fascinating. I was after preaching the sermon this morning, I was talking with two ladies, members of our church in the fellowship hall, and one of them shared with me how that they have a relative, I believe it is, who at one time actually had been demon-possessed. You know, the person has spoken a different voice and that kind of a thing. And they said that the demon did actually leave her and go away. And I asked her, I said, has she accepted Christ as a Savior? And this lady said, no, I don't think so. I said, that's pretty dangerous because the Bible talks about after a demon has been cast out, he'll go and get more and bring him back. So what you want to do with a person who's been demon-possessed, you need to lead them to Christ as soon as you can to protect them, because then they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals them. And when the Holy Spirit seals them, of course, the demons cannot get in there because they can't occupy the same space where the Holy Spirit does. And she says, oh, well, I'll have to look into this. And, yeah, please do. You know, you have to be very, very careful about that. But it reminded me of the fact that even in Christian circles, there is a real ignorance, I believe, about discernment. Discernment of false teachers, discernment of carnal teachers, discernment of people who really don't even know the Lord as their Savior, and that they're held up as leaders many times. And we need to be really careful about that. I think we're running into this more and more, and we need to be careful. There are times when people will come and they'll visit our church, and they may be friendly and nice sounding, but I have questions because I never hear any reference to them about the Lord Jesus or about their relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's always circuitous, you know what I mean? And I put my guard up in regards to that. It's nice for people to be friendly and to be cooperative and so forth, but what we're looking for is, does this person really have a relationship with the Lord, and are they walking with the Lord? That's what we're really after, and that's what we need to be careful to do. Jesus here was pointing out the Pharisees did not have that capacity. They were not even saved. They had a form of righteousness, but it was fake, and they were presenting themselves as great teachers of law, and they were lost. In fact, later in John 8:44, he says, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. So we need to be really careful and discerning and open up to the, make sure that we're in the Word of God. This is one reason why we keep emphasizing the Word of God and Scripture at Nepog Church. There is a high level of spirit activity that occurs, especially here in New England. And there have been, I've learned that there are a large number of people who are actually involved in witchcraft. A lot of these, of course, is unsaved people. But it affects the area. And sometimes we will have people come into our church, and when they get into conversations with us, the words that they say and they use in the conversation actually come from witchcraft. We've actually run into this not too long ago. And people in our church have begun to realize that and acknowledge it. So it's very important that we stay glued to the Word of God and that we stay in tune with the Word of God, because there's a tremendous amount of deception, and we want to be careful.